All right, ladies and gentlemen, around the Delaware Valley. On a beautiful, and I mean beautiful, Thursday afternoon in the Delaware Valley. And we are live this Thursday on WWDB Talk 860. Welcome to Taking Charge with Paul Robinson. We've got a fantastic show. Beauty of radio is, you know, when the roads get heavy and traveling is terrible, we always have the option to go remote. We're ecstatic because our host is on the broadcast, and our guests, and she's remote, and our guests are in the studio with me. Paula, how are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm great. I can't complain. I'm ecstatic that you know you're on the line, and it's a little tough up there, in your neck of the woods.
It's pretty icy up here.
Yeah, and that's the Allentown area, or is that where we're?
What? Yeah, Lehigh Valley. Yeah,
Lehigh Valley. Okay, I walked in from Pittsburgh in a t-shirt, Paul, and I didn't even sweat, and I didn't get wet. That's just the kind of man I am. All right, I'm exaggerating.
An iron worker.
That's right.
Well, so that, by the way, just so you know, Paul, that's an inside joke. It's true, but let me just introduce our guests on the broadcast. Dr. Jim Brady's in the house. How are you, sir?
Very good. Paula, thank you for having me as a guest on your show.
Oh, you're welcome.
It's a real honor.
It is, and most importantly, because the other 70 guys couldn't make it, Dr. Brady was available.
What?
I mean that.
By the way, I thought this was just.
I was just. By the way, we have so much fun on Dr. Brady's show.
I would like you to be on our show, Paula.
Oh, I
if you're
would
speaking
love that.
To me afterwards, I got read the riot act. Joe told me to keep my mouth shut.
Oh,
it's
no,
your show, not mine.
He's by the way, there's no integrity or we don't have to be honest on the show. That never happened. and we have.
Well, we have cookies here in Danish. I was trying to woo you.
Yeah.
I guess it's not going to work because you're far away.
We do. You should see this. You know, we got some Danish.
We have some cookies. And I know station manager Bob frowns upon free advertising. He wants everybody to pay. But I would never do free advertising.
You mean Sam?
Yeah. I like station manager Bob better.
Yeah, you could change his name. You know what? He's been called worse. That's
but I would never. Sure. I would never do free advertising. But the Danish and the cookies are from Danish Bakers, which are located on 107 Huntington Pike, and they're having a sale for. Come on down, and they'll take great care of you.
And by the way, we're
in Huntington Valley in Rockledge, Pennsylvania. But I would never do a free commercial.
And we're going to be charging him $1,000. Compliments of Paula Robinson, our attorney, our personal injury attorney. Who's on the broadcast with us, Kevin Proud, of the firm of Dion Solomon and Shapiro. Kevin, how are you, sir?
Doing great, Joe. Thank you guys for having me.
It's my pleasure. Right about an inch away. Repeat that one more time.
All right. Thanks again for having me, Paul. Thanks for having me. Joe, appreciate it. Thank you.
It's our pleasure, Kevin.
He's a local guy.
He is. Where are you from?
He grew up in Northeast Philly.
I am.
High school.
So I grew up in Philadelphia. When I was younger, we moved out to the suburbs. So I actually went to CB West High School.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yes.
One thing about CB West, they have no tradition when it comes to football. Zero.
No.
There's no championships there.
Not at all.
Who was the legendary coach? Patton.
Mike Patton.
Mike Patton, whose son coached in the NFL or coaches in the NFL.
Yeah, I think he's still.
How
he's
the hell
do
you know this
teams,
information?
Yeah.
I mean, it's anybody who knows any. I coached at Roman Catholic. Anybody who didn't know the Pettons was on a desert island under a rock somewhere.
Correct.
If you were in the Catholic League.
Or maybe I was in the military.
Right.
Yeah. I was fighting for our country.
You were fighting for our country. I had my priorities straight, coaching JV football.
Hey, I don't know if you guys know, but I'm a military guy, so I keep up on this stuff. At 6 o'clock a.m., Skynet went active. So we should all be feeling very comfortable and safe from domestic and foreign threats.
We're in good shape, thank God.
Even know what Skynet is. That was a joke. That was from Terminator.
It's a net with a sky.
That's what turned on everybody and killed the whole world.
Again, see, Paul, we went from a show.
Oh, sorry. Joe's kicking me under the table.
High standards and integrity. We have nothing. We're right down the tubes. By the way, you, Kevin and Paula, you got you got to be on Dr. Jim's show, the Sanjay and Jim show. It is so much fun. He brings on, he's got these old type radio things. He's throwing them around. It's we get a little law in, we get a little medicine. Oh my God! He brought them with him.
I have sound effects.
We're going down the tube. So listen, you're going one time. You're calling in from out of town and remotely, and the show will never be.
I did hear in the hallway. I was sitting there, Paula, and somebody said they're going to have who on Paula's show, and they said Dr. Brady, and they said, oh, does she know?
She don't
I figured that wasn't good.
Hold on for a second. I just got a text from Paul. I'm on my way.
Yeah, I'm on my way.
Make some Danish for me.
And, we will.
Whoa, wait a second here.
And that's from the Danish bakers on in Rockledge on Huntington Pike.
That's what I'm talking about.
Hey, did you guys have Danish up in Doylestown? Any Danish bakeries?
I'm sure we do. Nothing comes.
Nothing like the Danish bakers, though.
My head, but
where are you
right
now? Is that where you're at now? So up that way?
Oh no. Where I live, I live in the city now. So
okay.
I'm an old city. Been there for probably 7 years.
Really?
Married? Single?
I'm single. I'm single.
Go to any clubs down there?
Not a huge club guy, to be honest with you. There's a lot of good bars, restaurants down there, and whatnot.
In particular. Where would you frequent?
So, Khyber Pass Pub, that's a good spot
to get
some food on 2nd Street.
I never heard of that.
Plow
in the Stars.
Plow in the Stars.
I didn't hear about that one either.
Yeah, right. So, they've been there forever, right? So, and then, yeah, there's been a few sort of revolving restaurants in Old City.
Yeah, it's been a tough time.
Yeah, I mean, with COVID. But, yeah, it's a great neighborhood to live in. There's always something to do.
Absolutely. I know the neighborhood real well. Certainly spent some time down there and, love the neighborhood. Having said that, let's talk some law. If you would, Paula, just remind our listeners a little bit about the firm and yourself and what you do.
Well, I've been practicing workers' compensation law for 35 years. And I've been out on my own since 2011, and I represent claimants exclusively. Those are the injured workers. And I represent individuals in the entire eastern part of the state, which is really very, very possible now since COVID because our hearings are virtual. And I love what I do, and I love helping people and meeting other people and getting her done.
And it surprises me that we have workers' compensation attorneys because the defense and the insurance companies are so accommodating, right, Paula?
they don't.
They're not cooperative. They're not real cooperative, right?
That's correct.
And there's nothing more a workers' compensation insurance company would rather do than have somebody not represented by an attorney like Paula Robinson so they could take advantage of them. We've heard the nightmare stories, and we appreciate the fact that you're out there representing the people. Having said that,
do you ever get cases of people that slip and fall on the ice at their employment?
Yes, I do once in a while, yes.
I've had a couple of those, too. It's a real shame. People get hurt going out.
I wonder if that happens a lot of time because the general contractor doesn't shut the job down and maintain the.
Would that be third party?
Would
Paula?
That be third party, right?
If they were contracted and they didn't put the ice out in time, or.
Well, it depends if the person worked for that employer or if they were on somebody else's property, then it would be third party. But if their employer failed to clean the sidewalks and they were on their way into work or coming out of work, coming and going, there's specific rules about that. But if they're on the employer's property, it would fall under workers' comp more than a personal injury.
Now, speaking of third party, let me bring in an attorney who knows a lot about that. Kevin Proud, Dion Solomon and Shapiro. Kevin, how are you? And tell our listeners what you do and a little bit about the firm.
Absolutely. So thanks again for having us here today, Paula. Really appreciate it. A little bit about our firm. Again, my name is Kevin Proud. I'm an attorney at Dion Solomon and Shapiro. We are located at 1801 Market Street in Center City, Philadelphia. The good thing about our firm is we focus our practice exclusively on representing injured people. All right. In terms of the work that our firm does, I would say that it really falls under two primary umbrellas. We have a lot of motor vehicle accidents, and there's a lot of things that sort of fall under that realm. Basic personal vehicle accidents, trucking accidents as well. Something that over the last few years has become very big are, you know, rideshare accidents, Uber, Lyft. We handle all of those types of cases. Anytime you're on a highway, accident with a tractor trailer, that's something we handle. So that's sort of the umbrella of motor vehicle accidents. The other large area of our firm's practice is premises liability cases. So premises liability, that's anytime you're hurt on someone else's property and you can show that they were negligent because of what happened. Those cases are typically trip and falls, slip and falls. But you can also have, you know, situations where maybe there's negligent security, right? Say you're at a concert, negligent security would be an example, or you're out at a bar and you get assaulted by, one of the, the bouncers or something like that. That's another thing that our firm handles. So premises liability, motor vehicle accidents are the two big things. And then we also do some smaller things such as, dog bite cases, as well as mold cases. And some of the other attorneys in our firm have gotten very involved in some of the sexual abuse cases as well. So that's kind of the general overview of what we do handle. But personal injury is what we do, and it's all we do.
So, to even, kind of go a little farther, where Paula represents injured workers who get injured on the job, and they could be injured as a result of their own mistake. Somebody might accidentally hit themselves in the thumb with a hammer, you, on the other hand, get involved in incidents where somebody else is negligent. There's a negligent party. So if I'm this is a good way of, let me just throw it out there. You tell me if I'm right.
Sure, yeah.
I'm working on a job, and Paula, feel free to jump in. We're going to introduce Jim Brady in a second. I'm walking with the crane. We're walking a piece of steel across right in the hole, where the work floor is, and there's a hole dug in the middle of the core.
Okay.
Now, there's two people that could have dug that hole. If it was me and my company and I fall into it and I'm the one walking the piece of steel, that potentially is purely workers' compensation because it's my fault I did it, but it's no fault. It's a no-fault statute, so you're still covered by workers' comp. If I'm walking with that piece and somebody else from another contractor dug that hole and didn't put caution tape around it, that could be a third-party case.
Correct. You just described in the second scenario the type of case where you have both a workers' comp case as well as a third party claim.
Yeah. Right?
So yeah, that was a great example of a way that you can have both types of cases.
Paula, this is Kevin's first time on the broadcast, and Dr. Brady, this is obviously you're going to get used to a lot of great points I'm going to make during the hour. This should not surprise you.
I'm sure.
Paul is not surprised right now, and Dr. Brady's gone. They're taking it to another bar as usual, Joe. Speaking of the bar, having said that, Dr. Brady, if you would introduce yourself and of course your practice.
Am I allowed to talk now?
You're what?
I was told I would not.
Yeah. We'll
so I am allowed to talk. Okay, I'm Dr. James Brady. I own three medical centers, one in Ben Salem, one in Port Richmond near Kensington, and one in East Oak Lane near Alany. We specialize in neck and back pain. We've treated over 17,000 patients with neck and back pain. We have complete physical therapy, water therapy. We're a diversified center. We have a physiatrist, which is a pain management doctor who does needle EMGs to show you check for nerve damage. And we also work with another pain management specialist that does injections, pain injections with steroids and anti-inflammatories and painkillers under fluoroscopy at their medical center. So we try to have, we also have cold lasers where we treat carpal tunnel injuries to the wrist from repetitive movements. We are the providers, workman's comp providers, panel physicians for the Philadelphia Public School System, Bucks County Public School System, and Lowe's Home Improvement.
And having said that, Doc, you, so in a sense, you know, you treat injured workers who are plaintiffs and on the defense side.
Yeah, I do both. I do both
sides. Which helps with your credibility if you have to testify, correct? So you call it the way you see it.
You said credibility?
Yeah, it's a good point. We're on the radio. I have to say something.
For millions of people to hear.
But, you know, so in other words, that's a big deal.
I do work for the for the insurance companies. I do UROs and IMEs, independent medical exams. And I also work with plaintiff, which is the actual person that's injured. We do both sides of the fence.
Well, that's good stuff. I like that.
You think?
And it's what do you think, Kevin? Having said that, let's talk about a scenario. You know, Kevin, you mentioned when I was doing a little research, you talk about truck accidents. Yes. Now, truck accidents are incredibly interesting because there could be so many negligent parties in the process. And typically, they're also workers' compensation type cases. Somebody's not if the truck driver gets injured.
Correct.
But,
yes.
But having said that, if you get a client who's, driving on 95 and one of those big tractor trailers is driving with one of those oversized loads on top, and something happens and something falls off and injures somebody who's driving, that would be a description of somebody you might represent, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, and we do. Our firm has many of those types of cases. They're driving their own personal vehicle, whether it be a sedan, small SUV, and then, they get absolutely crushed by a tractor trailer. All right, those cases we see those a lot. They're not super frequent, but we do get those types of cases. And of course, you would certainly have a third party claim against whatever company it is who owns that tractor trailer. Sometimes you need to figure out whether or not they're just transporting whatever's in the actual vehicle for another company, but
It could also be the company who's loading the, who's loading it, the materials on the truck, correct? There's a number of different potential
Certainly, yes.
parties.
Yes, absolutely.
So talk about the firm a little bit and in regards to what, and I'll say this, the Paula, obviously, first, let's go around the horn a little bit about the expectations when somebody comes in and, they go through a third-party case. So I'm going to try to keep this on a third-party case level, mm-hmm. Because it involves everybody. And we'll try to, we'll keep it on an auto accident type base. But, Paul, what can individuals expect when they walk into the practice? From your standpoint?
Well, I obviously handle the workers' comp piece of it, but I do advise them that they need to get a personal injury attorney as soon as possible to get, the police report, get all the medical records. And it's important for me to coordinate with the PI attorney the evidence and keep them apprised of if there's an IME going on or what medical treatment they're getting or what doctors they're seeing. So I do explain that to the clients when they come in. But as you know, Joe, workers' comp is like a flowing activity. A case could go any number of different directions. So, it's important that I stay in touch with the clients throughout the whole process. And I explained that I will definitely do that when I represent them. But you have to give them timelines of how long a judge, you know, may take to come to a decision on the workers' comp case. And in the PI, that is even sometimes longer than the workers' comp case. So, you know, with the coordination of the two, the client has a pretty good expectation of what is going to happen.
And there's a lot of ebbs and flows when it comes to a work comp case, right? In other words,
you know,
the insurance company, I've heard the term bad faith claims, you know, recently a decent amount. And I would almost think, and I could be wrong, obviously I am wrong about this. This is not a true statement, but it's unbelievable that it's not. That you know, there's so many times where a work comp provider will stop the benefits of somebody who's obviously hurt. Now, I would call that a bad faith claim. But my point is, you know, when you're, I guess, say first meeting, you meet somebody, a client, they're injured, setting them up for success in a case that, you know, especially if it's a contested case, and you know, talking about the ebbs and flows in regards to, you know, the games that the workers' compensation, especially if it's not a obviously catastrophically injured individual, where it, you know, they may be seriously injured, but they, you know, they didn't lose a limb, so the workers' comp insurance provider is likely to at one point that, you know, take a shot at stopping their benefits. How do you have that conversation? It's not that they're definitely going to, but how do you set somebody up in regards to educating them on day one to make sure that, you know, they aren't their own worst enemy during a case? Because I can only imagine the calls you get. They stop my pay, my benefits. They did, you know, this, they stopped that. I can't get my medical. Do you have that conversation at the beginning, not saying they're going to, but, you know, this is sometimes a tumultuous type situation?
Yes. Well, what I typically do at the first meeting is I explain the workers' comp process and explain to them that it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when the insurance company will try to stop their benefits, if they're getting benefits at that point. And I explain to them that the first step is the IME, the independent medical evaluation. And that's when they send the claimant, obviously, to a doctor of their own choosing. Either the attorney who's representing the insurance company and the employer, or the carrier themselves will pick the IME doctor. And depending on that report, then, you know, their compensation could be in jeopardy if that doctor indicates that they're fully recovered or capable of some type of work and the employer has work for them to return to, or if they don't, they hire a vocational expert. So I don't want to put the fear of God into people, but they have to understand that this is the way it's going to go.
Exactly. And this way, obviously, they know it's typically part of what's going on. You know, you've had a lot of experience, obviously, dealing with those situations. Kevin, talk about your setting a client up for, you know, expectations, because in your world, as obvious as something seems, it could take a couple years to come to fruition. And I'm assuming that during that period, it can be stressful one way or the other. They're injured, and setting them up to be able to last that long emotionally so they don't self-destruct in the process.
You're absolutely right, Joe. It's one of those things when a lot of our clients, when they come to us, you know, not every case is the same.
Sure.
Not every injury is as serious as the other. But when our clients come to us, you know, they're injured. And it doesn't matter what level of injury it is, all right, it's interfering with their ability to live their life. Maybe their ability to go out and earn money and continue working their job. So, you know, they come to us in a place where, you know, they need guidance. And I think you really need to be, in order to do this job, you have to have compassion from day one.
Yeah.
That's something that people, you know, even not the brightest people, they can see whether or not you actually care.
Right? Well, it's interesting, you know, that you say that, because I always say this, you know, I kind of equate it to a tree falling in the woods if no one's there to hear it, right? You can be the greatest mind and understand the law and all those things. But if you're not compassionate, like you said,
yep.
and have empathy and can connect with a person, you're not going to be all that successful as an attorney.
Correct. And, you know, I think that's one of the main things you want to be able to convey at, say, like the initial meeting with the client. But, you know, look, you're right. Some cases go on longer than others. I've had cases go on 4 or 5 years, you know. That's what happens. You know, if it goes into litigation, that just can happen. You're putting up a fight.
And communication must be a big part of what you do during the process.
Exactly.
Three, four, five years.
Yeah, so that's exactly what I was going to get right back into. You know, I always try to stay in touch with my clients, you know, every other week. Like at a minimum. And look, one of the great things about, you know, our law firm, there's a lot of personal injury firms out there. And there's a lot of models, business models that work, others that don't work. You know, one thing that I know I personally do and the other lawyers at my firm, you know, this is something that has been instilled from, you know, my mentors, Gary Dion and Jeffrey Solomon, they're the partners. And the other lawyers, they do the same thing is, you know, if a phone call comes in and we're available to pick it up, we'll answer it. And if we can't get back to you that day, you know, I personally have a policy that I'll call you back within 24 hours if I can.
I saw that.
You know, it's different if I'm in a deposition back-to-back days, that's maybe a little different. But that's a policy I always try to maintain, and so do the other guys in my firm. You know, when you call our firm, yes, you might speak to the receptionist at first, but then if you say, hey, I want to talk to Kevin, or I want to talk to Jeff, Gary, Matt. If we're available, we'll take the call. And you don't really see that at a lot of personal injury firms. And I think that kind of makes us stand out a little bit. Clients appreciate that. You know, they're in desperate times, and you know, sometimes their question it might be able to wait. But sometimes they just want to hear from you, and that's part of the job.
Absolutely, Doc. When they get to your office, often they've been dealing with sometimes a panel provider that was, you know, uncaring, and they're beat up. We've had this conversation before where, you know, we're all used to our doctors being our members of our family, especially of our era, and somebody gets injured on the job, you feel like, like no one really, and Paula can attest to this, a lot of people don't know the law. They have no idea about acknowledgement letters and posting doctors and all that stuff. So they automatically say to the boss, what do I do? They end up sending them a panel provider. Some are great, but a lot of times they're not, and they're not accommodating to get beat up in the system. What happens when they come to your office after going through that suspicion? It's almost like, they have been beat up.
I would like to think that all doctors put their patients' best interests in mind, but sometimes their employees, they're being paid by the insurance carrier, so they don't always do the testing that I think is really necessary. So a lot of times when we get patients in that have been with the panel physician, we immediately begin doing a complete workup. You know, we do a complete, very thorough case history. And then we followed up with the proper testing and the proper referrals that they might need. And many times, we get patients in, no testing's done, no consults with specialists. And that's a big problem.
And getting that and kind of instilling that confidence back into them in a medical provider that really cares about them if they've gone through that. We've all heard, the nightmare stories. Paul, I'm sure you've gotten calls from individuals that could barely move. I'm just exaggerating a little bit, but maybe not. I mean, or having some kind of situation where a panel physician told them they could go back to work, and especially in my union world, they wanna go back to work, but they probably are confused when they call you because they think that they probably have never experienced that type of a medical situation.
Well, a lot of calls that I get are people are just dumbfounded when they go to the panel of doctors and they don't do any testing and they just barely look at them and they say they're fine and go back to work. and the people are insulted and they're hurt and literally hurt and their feelings are hurt and they just are confused as to how a doctor can say that there's nothing wrong with them when clearly there is.
This is so ironic that you're talking about this. I literally had a conversation with a patient just a few hours ago who went to the independent medical exam. Said to me later, I think it went really well. You know, he seemed like he really understood, you know, what I suffered from, my injuries. And I said, oh, well, just, you know, you never know. I said, you know, sometimes the report can come back completely different than what you think. So I said, don't be upset by that. So we talked about it, and then that was the end of it. Well, she just got the report back, and she was horrified.
Well, that's just crazy.
Yeah.
Why does that happen?
Well, it happens because the doctors that the insurance companies send the IME work to, the doctors clearly want to keep getting that work. And if they write reports in favor of the claimant, then the insurance company is going to say, hey, wait a minute, I don't think I want to use this doctor. We're going to be paying out this claim based on this IME report.
Absolutely.
It comes down to money. That's clearly what it is.
And let me ask Dr. Brady, when you see a situation like that, as a doctor with integrity and all those things, what are your thoughts?
Oh, it's upsetting. You know, it was very upsetting to see that patient. I was so happy that I did warn her beforehand. But right. It's still, you know, one of the things that happens is, you know, I'm in this field. I've been in this field for 35 years. I have a mouthful of cookie right now.
I'm jealous. I'm going to...
You always ask me questions when I shove food in my face.
I say the alphabet frontwards and backwards.
I explain to patients, this is their first time dealing in a situation like this, and they always have thought that, you know, every doctor is out looking for their best interest and helping them. And when they see that, it's the first time that many people come to the realization that not all doctors are really there to help you.
As
Paula said, you know, with all of her years of, I think she's in practice same amount of time as I am, 35 years. And, you know, I've seen it all. Paula has seen it all. And it's very unfortunate when people realize that, you know, money is involved and these big corporations pay these, you know, doctors, and the doctors want to continue to get the money that they're getting from these insurance carriers as they're doing their reviews. And their opinion leans towards the insurance carrier, which is very unfortunate, you know, because these people sometimes have families. You know, they're in a very bad way. Now it's the holidays, you know, it's Christmas and Hanukkah. It's just very difficult.
It's really confusing in a sense that, you know, you wonder at what point, how do you tell them, especially the consequences of when it's a contested claim. Okay. Because sometimes it takes a while to get that, you know, obviously overturned, right, Paul?
Well, yeah, I mean, and unfortunately, I mean, I have claimants all the time who, when I file a claim petition, they're not on comp, we're trying to get them on, and the carrier is fighting tooth and nail, and then they finally just get worn down.
They smoke them out. Even if they're sick, they end up having to go back to work because they can't afford it.
Well, yeah, and they settle their cases for, you know, a lot less because they say, you know, Paula, I only have a few hundred dollars left in the bank. I can't do this. I can't continue this. And the carriers know it. I have one right now, and I'm not going to mention any names of employers, but this one is huge, and they're all over the place, and their own doctor came back with an IME report in my client's favor, totally in her favor, and they're still fighting it. And I can't, the attorney is just, she's as frustrated as I am because it's her client, and she can't really get in their face about it or she'll lose business. It's just, It's awful.
And you know what's? I think you know when you think about that. It's an incredible. I heard a story one time where, I guess you see oversized loaves. We talked about them on the road, and a piece of dunnage fell off, and it fell on they were driving next to the big truck, and it injured somebody. The owner of the company was there. He saw it. He actually supported the claim. Obviously he was a witness, and they still. And they still, opposed it. So I get it. Insurance right. companies are not in; they're in the business of taking in, revenues premiums and not paying it out.
Yeah, but they're in the business to make money. Some of the ways they make money is by collecting their premiums, and other ways is by not paying out.
So let's do this. Let's take a little break. We have plenty more to talk about. We'll have more from Taking Charge of Paul Robinson in just a moment.
Suffering a work injury can be a debilitating experience. Trying to navigate the workers' compensation system and process on your own can make it even worse. From the point of injury to the culmination of your claim and everything in between, certified workers' compensation attorney and specialist Paula Robinson will handle every facet of your workers' compensation matter to ensure that you get the representation and results you need in the face of a system that often treats injured workers like they don't matter. If you get injured on the job, call Workers' Compensation Attorney Paula Robinson of Robinson Law at 215-530-7166 or go to robinsonlawyer.com. That's Robinson, LWYR.com, and get the support, the representation, and results you need to get back on your feet again.
Hi, I'm Cody DiPablo. Cancer, we don't want to think about it. But I had to because, well, I was busy working, traveling, enjoying life. Completely forgot to pay attention to my health. Too much time passed since my last PAP. By the time I was tested, things didn't look too good. We thought I might have cervical cancer. Cervical, ovarian, and uterine cancers are gynecologic cancers. I was lucky. After lots of worries, no cancer. I've always been very close to my mother. When we finally got good results, she broke down. And that's when I realized it's not just about me. It's about your loved ones, too. So women, get a Pap test to check for cervical cancer and get the inside knowledge about gynecologic cancers.
A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. For more information, call 1-800-CDC-INFO.
When I got out of the Marine Corps, I was not just, working with my physical disabilities, I was emotionally broken. I remember thinking, how did I get here? How? It was affecting me in my marriage. My husband, he didn't know how to help me. He actually called Wounded Warrior Project. Wounded Warrior Project had this thing called Couples Odyssey.
It was an eye-opener, and I think it really saved our marriage.
They gave us books and resources and tools on how to help us with that.
I just love him. I love you, honey.
I love you too.
Watching her fight for her mental health, fighting for other veterans, fighting for this family, helped me to fight too. Well, I always loved her, but I love her 10 times more for that.
Not all wounds are visible. If you or a loved one are suffering, visit woundedwarriorproject.org/not alone.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Taking Charge of Paul Robinson here on a beautiful, beautiful Thursday afternoon. We've got fantastic guests, obviously Dr. Jim Brady in the house, and of course, Kevin Proud, who's an associate at the law firm of Dion, Solomon, and Shapiro.
I have a question for Paula.
Go ahead.
I love interrupting you, Joe. I do it well.
Give him a day.
I'm going to ask you, Paula, what was the worst case you ever handled?
Ugh.
No names. Point and whistle. Just joking. I'm going to tell you mine after you tell me yours.
Okay. Actually, Well, there's a few that come to mind, but actually I'll just expound upon the one I was just talking about. This woman worked for this huge home improvement store, okay?
Mm-hmm.
She worked part-time. Her full-time job paid like $21 an hour. When she got hurt at the home improvement store, they would not issue any bureau documents, and she had a fracture of her one shoulder, very, very painful. And her full-time employer terminated her because she had restrictions and she couldn't do her job. So she lost all that income. I subpoenaed that employer to come in to testify before the workers' compensation judge about, you know, all her earnings and why they terminated her. It was because of the work injury. And this home improvement store kept wanting her to come back and work part-time, which she felt like she had to do because she needed money. Then they terminated her, and then they sent her to this quote-unquote made-up work at a thrift shop where she was made to fold clothes and do other activities that further aggravated her shoulder. This case is still going on.
Wow.
And when we mediated the case, the mediating judge, she was just fuming at the employer. And she's had many, many cases with this employer, and she said it's so frustrating dealing with them because they don't treat the claimants right, this home improvement store. And she suggested to the attorney a value to get the case settled, and they offered like a fraction of that. And my client is in a very bad spot.
It's incredible.
She's got, you know, medical bills. We can't get, you know, a clear indication of whether they're being paid or not. And she's just terrified because she's running out of money. And it's just horrible. And
it's really the reason anybody that gets injured has to have an attorney on
their
side.
Oh, my God, yeah.
You got to have somebody like
Paula.
How
long did you get the case soon after she got injured?
Yes, she was referred to me by a physical therapist, and he pretty much sent me the case when she started the physical therapy.
All right, it's so disappointing when you hear that. But I gotta imagine the judges, and they keep seeing these things. And I can tell you that, if I was a judge, man, and I saw that, you just gotta wonder. I mean, because everybody noticed the gig is up. They know she's injured. It's brutal. They're trying to smoke her out, and it's tragic because she's got to deal with her health issue and then the stress of the injury and all that. And I'm sure that's why, you know, Kevin, you mentioned talking about, you know, the communication factors with your clients and being able to be courteous and treat them the way you want to be treated. Same way in your situation, Paula. You know, you can feel the pain that they're going through, at least emotionally. And if you didn't have patience, the two of you, okay, Kevin and Paula, and obviously your partners, Kevin, and you're going to lose your client because, you know, if you don't have empathy and you can't, you know, that's a big part of the process. People are going through, you know, so much. So that's appreciate you telling us that story, Paula.
Well, I will tell you another sad situation just real quick. I have another client who had a concussion, now post-concussive syndrome, and on her own, doesn't have anybody to drive her to or from her therapy appointments. Claim was denied. I sent the adjuster all the proper medical documentation addressing causation. Everything was there, and the adjuster just denied it. No explanation. And then the attorney got involved, and he hardly returns my phone calls. So I just felt so bad for this woman that I reached out to a friend at my church, and we helped her out. We gave her food, We gave her money from the church, and you do what you have to do to help these people.
Well, that's above and beyond.
Oh yeah, it's just a tribute to your compassion. I want to kind of segue because we only have about, 10 minutes left? 10 minutes. By the way, shout out to TJ, who's going to put this podcast in the right folder. That's what I'm talking about. Having said that, Kev, we're talking a little bit about it in insurance, workers' compensation insurance and all those things. In your world, it's often auto insurance, and that discussion is, and you and I just met, okay? And I've had the opportunity to have some people from your firm on, awesome firm, great people. But I just want you to relax when we talk about this insurance, the auto insurance conversation, because I have full coverage. So you're good, okay?
That's great to hear.
Yeah. By the way, I'm sure everybody, and this is sarcasm, by the way, people. You know, how many people have walked in your office and said, no, after an accident that said, I'm good, I got full coverage, and have no idea what limited tort, full tort is, and all those other things?
It's almost 9 times out of 10.
Yeah.
And then you kind of have to explain that, it's a good thing that you have full coverage, but as far as anything related to, what
health,
the implications for your injury
person,
claim,
right?
That there's a lot that we need to look at the policy for. So
exactly. So that conversation about full coverage, right, is typically, it is basically the body of the car.
Property damage. Right?
Property
yes.
damage, right.
Correct.
But how many people, look at you like, you got three heads when you talk about limited tort, full tort, uninsured, underinsured motorists?
It's typically the people that maybe had a prior accident and they dealt with it then.
Those are
pretty much the only times that the client actually has any idea what we're talking about.
And so in a sense, what are we talking about? But when you get into the full tort, limited tort conversation.
Sure. So just briefly, in Pennsylvania, when you get an auto insurance policy, you have the choice to select either limited tort or full tort. So limited tort tends to be a lot cheaper than full tort, and there's a reason behind that. So with limited tort, you cannot recover for pain and suffering, all right? Those are the non-economic damages, so to speak. You can't recover for pain and suffering unless you can prove the actual legal term is substantial impairment of body function, okay? Kind of a fancy word, but it's quite close to being a permanent injury. So think something like a broken bone or facial scar. Those are things, a torn ligament, right? Say in your knee or your shoulder. All right, those are things that would make limited tort a moot point, right? Those are permanent injuries, right, for the most part. Now, when you have full tort, which it's a little bit more expensive, always recommend that to the clients, my family members, my friends, because even if you get hurt, but you make a recovery, all right, and you don't have a permanent injury, you're still entitled to make a claim for pain and suffering. So you can still get compensated, all right, for the pain and suffering you might have endured. Let's say you got into an accident in January, but then come October, you're feeling a lot better, you've made a full recovery, you can still get paid for your pain and suffering from January to October.
Now, having said that, why is it important for somebody to get uninsured and underinsured motorist coverage?
Those two things are, I would say almost just as critical as, selecting full tort. All right. In, the city of Philadelphia, I'll just give you an example. I think a lot of us know we have a lot of people in the city that do not drive with insurance.
That's okay? Guys that you talk about, Drew, guys like Drew. He's out there, and there's no accidents. He's actually running. He's running people over on purpose. That's not.
There's a lot of people that drive without insurance. Okay, and what that means for you is, if they hit you and you get into an accident and you get hurt, all right, if you don't carry something called uninsured coverage, then you're pretty much out of luck in terms of getting compensated for your injuries. All right. So, you know, you'll still have compensation through something called first party medical coverage, but that's only about typically $5,000 in most PA policies. But I always recommend getting uninsured coverage as much as you can, because if someone hits you and they don't have insurance, then you're out of luck in that situation. The other thing with uninsured coverage, it protects you in situations where there's a hit and run. Okay, so if someone hits you and then they take off and you have no idea who it was that hit you, what vehicle it was, then you can turn around and make a claim for uninsured coverage with your own policy. So, and then the last one is underinsured coverage. You know, that's the situation where someone hits you, they stay on the accident scene, they have insurance, but it's not enough to compensate you fully for the full extent of your injuries.
And you gotta wonder why our brokers aren't educating us like there is no tomorrow in that area. That's why this is a great conversation, and you're educating our listeners, because at the end of the day, first of all, a lot of people are actually trying to sign up online themselves, and they were just uneducated about it. Would you guys at the firm, if one of your clients wanted you to review their policies, would you do it?
100%. And we always do that all the time. We always say, hey, bring in your policy. You know, if someone comes in for it's a first consultation and they have their insurance policy, and we say, look, that's not good. You shouldn't have that. You know, they ask us, they're like, is it okay for us to change, call our insurance company and add it right now? And I'm like, of course it is. It's not going to apply for this particular accident, but you never know what's going to happen in the future.
Absolutely. Right? By the way, it's a good conversation. Quick around the horn, because we got about we got 5 minutes. The contingency fee agreement, which means that individuals can come into your office, great attorneys like you guys and Doc. Well, it's not a contingency fee in your area, but if it's a personal injury or it's a work comp injury, they're not coming in and pulling. In other words, they don't pay out of pocket costs.
No, they're not even allowed. We're not even allowed to accept it with workman's comp. We just have to accept the workman's comp. Is that correct, Paula? You're the expert.
Well, if workers' comp will pay for it, yes.
Right. Well, at the end of the day, and then so but so there's no out of pocket cost when they walk into your doc at your office doc if it's
no.
a personal injury workers
or workman's comp. Nope.
Right. And so, having said that, contingency fee agreement, Paula, tell our listeners what that is.
Well, for workers' compensation, it's a 20% contingent fee, and that's set by the legislature. So if we obtain benefits for the worker, then we're entitled to 20% of that. Likewise, if they're on benefits, the carrier's trying to stop them, and we prevent that from happening, we are entitled to 20% of the ongoing benefits in any settlement.
So that means that when they come in, they're not paying you a retainer out of their pocket.
Correct.
And I'll ask Kevin the same thing. Is that a contingency fee also apply for you?
Yes, that's exactly how we work under a contingency fee. That just essentially means that, we'll take a percentage of the case if we're able to get money for you. If for some reason we're not able to, we're not successful, you don't owe us anything. Our fee is 40% for most of our cases. For minors, that number goes down to about a third. So,
and these are personal injury. This is personal injury, not obviously work. There's a difference between personal injury and workers' comp.
Correct. Yes.
And having said that, you guys also you front the cost if you need experts and if there's if you got a VETA case or research. So that could get pretty hefty. That also doesn't come up at an upfront cost paid for by the client, correct?
Correct. No, we will cover those costs if we have to get an expert report. The filing fees for the lawsuit, all of that. Depositions, we'll cover those costs.
Fantastic. How much time do we got, TJ? All right, so let's go around the horn. Kevin, if you would, contact information for yourself and at the firm.
Yes. So my name, again, is Kevin Proud. I'm an attorney at Dion Solomon & Shapiro. Our phone number is 215-561-0877. Our website is phillylawoffice.com, and our address is 1801 Market Street, in Center City, Philadelphia.
Doc, contact information?
Dr. James Brady. I have offices in Bensalem, Port Richmond, and East Oak Lane, 215-245-1000. We specialize in neck and back pain.
And my host, Paula Robinson, contact information?
Website is robinsonlwyr.com. Phone number is 215-530-7166, and that's for Robinson Law. I have several offices, one in Center Valley, one in Doylestown, and go down to Philly as well.
Absolutely. Well, listen, I want to thank everybody. Obviously, I want to thank our host, Paul Robinson, for making the show happen, and obviously for sticking it out and being a trooper and making it the show. I know it's crazy up in the Lehigh Valley right now. Weather-wise, I want to obviously thank Dr. James Brady. And, of course, I want to thank Kevin Proud. I want to thank Andrew Walker for making the show happen. And, of course, TJ in the producer's room. On behalf of everybody on the broadcast, I'm Joe Dougherty. Thanks for listening, everybody.